Hogstein.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hogstie. And it is our post-draft show. We're going to be talking a lot of draft. Steve keeps turning his head because, you know, programming note for our listeners, Steve is waiting for a pizza to arrive at his house for his kid.
Yeah, not
that he will not
my
eat.
Kid. Yeah. I'm trying to make it so that the doorbell doesn't ring. And so the kid is on standby, but I'm the one sitting near the window. So
it is a live show. If you hear a doorbell and you hear someone say pizza guy.
And guess what? We're not in a studio when we're doing this.
No. Well, you guys aren't. I'm almost in a studio.
The Hogstie has studios. I just happen to be from home today. That's all.
Right. The multi-million-dollar studio is under construction in Houston. So
well, there's that, and we have our national studio. I broadcast from our national studios sometimes.
That's true. When you fly up,
Me, you guys get to stare my rafters up there every show.
Yes.
Well, because your studio is, look, you cheapen. You went cheap on the roof, you know.
Well, no, that's that's not really wood. That's like sound. That's like the soundproofing and.
Oh, okay.
It works out beautifully, actually.
Yeah.
It's more deceiving to you guys than anything else.
Well, fair enough. Yeah.
Exactly. Steve's waiting on a pizza. I'm getting into it's spring summer grilling season. And I wanted to tell you guys a weird thing a coworker told me he does when he grills hot dogs. Now, Steve used to love hot dogs. We all know this.
I used to love hot dogs, yeah.
So this is the weirdest and kind of most disgusting thing I've ever heard. A coworker told me that when he grills hot dogs for a friend, like he throws out, all but one from the pack, and he just stands there and eats a hot dog straight out of the pack while he's grilling.
Wait. See, it took me a minute to have that sink in. So he just takes it out of the package.
Yep, and
uncooked,
chomp.
Just chomps on it.
Yeah. The last time I did that, I was like 12, 13 years old, and me and my brothers used to do it all the time. It used to drive my mom nuts.
You
I haven't done
the
it since
uncooked
then.
Hot dogs?
Yes. I used to take it, just chomp it down.
You can.
Grab it. You can. Because whenever we were in a rush to either go play either street hockey or football, whatever it was, we just grabbed like two of them out of the packet. They leave the pack wide open in the refrigerator. And of course, my mom's coming home. That was dinner today.
Okay. So I guess I got to retell my hot dog story. I know Alex has heard this. Dave, I can't remember.
And many of our listeners have heard it too.
You want me to tell the hot dog story again? Okay.
No, go on.
So I got invited to a suite at a Houston Texans game. Didn't involve the Redskins. And because I'm also very, very cheap and I don't like to spend money. And so they brought all this fancy food. Which I don't like fancy food very much. And so I start out with a hot dog. Then I realize it's all free, and so I just started eating more and more hot dogs. And eventually some of the people in the suite picked up on this because I have no couth apparently. And there was a running bet as to how many hot dogs I would eat by the end of the game. And I got up to, I want to say 8, I think, because if it's free, I'm just going to keep eating the hot dogs. And so I think it was 8, but I didn't eat any of the fancy food in the suite. It was just the hot dogs and water. And that was it.
So, 8's a good number. 8's an impressive number for most people, but it's not impressive for me. Do you want to know what my number? And this is in a day, not one game. So
because this was 3 hours, 4 hours or whatever for me.
Sure. So when I was at Temple in college, I lived in South Philly, by Melrose Diner. Dave will know where that was. There was a place on the corner called Texas Wiener. You could get 21 hot dogs for $20. And during one day of just sitting around watching football, I ate 21 hot dogs.
That puts my 8 to shame. It really does.
Yeah. Now, that granted, that's over the span of like 9 hours.
Right.
But
that's still an awful lot of hot dogs.
It was an awful lot of hot dogs.
I don't think that did much for your girlish figure.
No. Nor did the probably case of Yingling that I drank that day too.
Is Yingling beer cheap? Very cheap beer, I'm assuming.
Not very cheap beer, but very good beer.
Well, it's inexpensive in Philly. It's,
but it's very good.
Know. Yes.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a go-to. Yes. I used to call it the South Philly Swill.
I don't know if that sounds good, but I'm not a beer drinker, so I guess I don't have any room to complain about.
Well, I love alliteration, too. So,
even though the beer comes out of Pittsburgh, though.
Yeah. Well, yes. It comes out of the mountains out that way. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But South Pittsburgh swill just doesn't have a.
It does. There's not a. Doesn't roll off the tongue.
No. Nothing with Pittsburgh rolls off the tongue. You know, that's a terrible name for a town.
It's a fine town.
It's a fine town, but a terrible name. They should really rename it. Call it Coolsville or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, in some respects, if you're going to have a town full of steel mills, you know, maybe Pitt is the correct term.
I mean, I yes.
See? You're agreeing with me.
I am agreeing with you. All right, guys. We should talk about it. The draft happened, and I think that is the big story that we're just going to talk about this week. All right, how we usually do this, we kind of just go through the guys they picked, go through the happenings of the draft. One thing I want to say, I wish they would go back to a two-day draft. 3 days seems a bit too much to me.
I mean, for me, it's, you know, cry me a river, but by the time the sixth or seventh round rolls around on Saturday, I'm sick to death of the draft. Because, you know, we have to watch it all because we got to make sure nothing happens and all of that because we volunteer for
we're
this
tweeting
job.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'm sick to death of the draft by the end of the show. I wish they'd knock it all out on 2 days. I really do.
Yeah, it was better when it was Saturday, Sunday, in my opinion.
Yes.
I like that.
But they want ratings on the Thursday. They want the Thursday ratings binge.
I get it. I know Thursday is the ratings day, you know.
See, I'm a pretty big draft guy. So going 3 days at first, I was like, I don't like this. But then, you know what? Starting Thursday and going on through Saturday, I like it. I like it a lot.
You haven't been doing That's this me. As long as we have, though, Dave.
Well, I'm talking about just as a fan perspective. Just see, that's the thing, though. I'll sit and watch all rounds, all 3 days, and I'm okay with it. I got no problem with that. I've always enjoyed watching every single round of the draft. That's just, unfortunately, this past weekend, I wasn't able to watch the last couple rounds because I had a wedding to go to, so I was kind of part of all that.
Was it really that important, though? Was the football, which maybe should have been more important, was this a family member?
It was one of my good friends at work.
Oh, okay.
It's a work person? You should have picked the draft.
I used to have a little AAA or 3 AA battery portable TV. That would have been perfect for you.
I got this. I got this little fancy thing we have now. So I didn't. I'm okay with that now.
My social nightmare coming up this coming weekend is I have to go to a quinceañera.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Believe me.
Steve does hate social gatherings so
especially
much.
This. Yeah. I'm nice to be invited. I don't want to disrespect the people invited, but yes, it'll be tough to get through. I'll have a full report.
Sure.
Very nice. I look forward to it.
I just my problem with the draft and everything is, you know, my wife's birthday and our anniversary are like 4 days apart this last week. So no matter what, I'm missing something with the draft being this week. I will never just be able to just buy, hey, honey, I'm going to like leave town and go to the draft because I'll either miss her birthday or an anniversary. That's never going to happen. Right.
Maybe she needs to understand what's important in life.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Now, if it happens in Louisiana one year, I might be able to twist her arm to go down to like New Orleans. You know, she loves that
combined birthday, anniversary, trip, draft kind of thing.
Right. Right.
That's why when I picked, like, you know, when we were getting married, all that good stuff, I had made sure there was no important anniversaries that would fall at the end of April. So
you
no matter what,
through.
Never, I thought it through. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Not good
really,
on you for
but
that.
Hey, it sounds good anyway.
you lucked out, actually.
I lucked out, yes. Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's get into it. All right. Washington's first pick, it was talked about ad nauseum. Was it going to be Daniels or May? Mayor Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or whatever? Washington makes their big move for the franchise. This regime is putting their money on Jaden Daniels, right? Like, this is going to be the guy for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. If it doesn't work, you know, Adam Peters maybe gets another shot. Dan Quinn probably only gets one shot, right? Like, as a coach, you don't normally get more than one quarterback to work with. So the big, big play here, big move made. They didn't trade back like some people thought they were going to do.
Look, they were never going to trade back. That was always freaking stupid. Right. You know, that was never going to happen. Here's why. Let me tell you, I'll be optimistic. This is why I would be more optimistic. One, I thought Daniels was better than the other players by far. But beyond that, it's been a billion years since Washington has done this stuff in the right order and had everybody on board. This time, you know, unlike the past, you know, RG3, Mike Shanahan didn't want him. And you could go round and round and round and round with all the horrible mistakes they've made with quarterbacks.
The continuous cycle of drafting a quarterback, then firing the coach the next year.
Yeah, right.
And, they did about five times.
And Ron Rivera never found a quarterback, never tried to, you know. Here you have the new coach, the new GM, who both agreed, both like Jane Daniels, who was legitimately highly rated. You can argue if you want and whatever, but to me, he was clearly the number two. And so I think for that reason, I would have more hope that sanity will prevail and they will develop a quarterback right, because Washington's huge problem is they've just been atrocious, like the worst in the league at developing quarterbacks. And so this time, I think there's legitimate reason for hope.
Yeah, the only concern this whole scenario, and I still hang on to it, is just the Cliff Kingsbury effect. It's just, I mean, all the, you know, anything you read from beat reporters out in Arizona, his time in college, that he's bad at adjusting in game. He tends to get very predictable in his play calling, and you know, and if he doesn't change that, I mean, that's I don't know how effective Jaden Daniels is really going to be if he can't properly get, not only just game plan to his strengths, but being able to adapt his play calling away from wherever the pressure is getting to him. And I just, it's that's my biggest wild card in this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a guaranteed success. Most quarterbacks are busts. And I think you have a legitimate point in, I mean, is Cliff Kingsbury really up to the job? Maybe not. Yeah, you know, all of my point was is that I think there's a better chance of success of this because of the circumstances.
Absolutely.
And because they drafted a kid in the right spot than others, than before. So I'm concerned about the Kingsbury effect as well.
But see, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave.
But at least with Kingsbury, that's something you can quickly pump the brakes on and make that change in 2 years if you see Jaden Daniels is developing and he's doing what he can, but he's being limited in the offense, you can make that change and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't want to see it to where you keep Kingsbury around too long and now you start seeing regression, and that's what I don't want to see. Go ahead, Al. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I understand this concern about Kingsbury, but I think the good news is that Quinn's boss number one and Adam Peters is the, you know, even above that, they are taking a good approach with this. And the thing that I saw, it's a little thing that a blurb that I read. Jaden Daniels was not at the team draft party on Saturday that they did on the Wharf, like final stage of the draft. They didn't want him there. And the reason they didn't want him there is they don't want people to start treating him like they did RG3. You're the savior for the team. Mm-hmm. They want this kid to develop like a normal quarterback prospect should develop, not throw all the weight on him right away and see what happens. They're taking a guarded approach to the kid's development, and I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the draft party would have made that big of a difference, but it's in general terms, it's a decent, I like the approach.
Behind it. Yeah.
Yeah, in general terms, I do like the approach.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hopeful that even if Kingsbury and his system or scheme or whatever isn't quite what we need, that larger aspect of this goes right. And they have so many other guys on this coaching staff who are quarterback coaches who will be able to be in the room. I think four guys on the coaching staff technically coached quarterbacks at one point right now. So, like, there's a depth of coaching here for him as well.
I mean, the key always for these quarterbacks, I mean, it's can they put a system in place that supports the quarterback? Mm-hmm. You know, that is always the most important thing, and that's why most quarterbacks get screwed up. A lot of these quarterbacks could succeed, and the teams just screw them up.
Right. Absolutely. I said it early on. the six quarterbacks who were drafted in the first 12 rounds, every single one of them, I think, could become a franchise quarterback if you put them in the right situation.
And in fact, I think a lot of them actually went in kind of the right situation because none of them really had to be rushed in, thrust in the start and roll day one, except for Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams has all that talent around him. He's coming in with a loaded roster on that offensive side. I mean, there's almost no excuse for him not to succeed. But as far as like when it comes to Jaden Daniels, I tell you one thing. The one thing that really bothered me last week, I'm sure you may have seen me tweet about it a couple of times, is that after the pick was made, you're having people coming out and saying, well, this is, I don't like Jaden Daniels at all. There's nothing about him that's any better than, Drake May. They made a huge mistake. I hate Jaden Daniels. I'm sorry, but if you watched any aspect of game film at all, I watched very little, Steve. You've seen a lot more than me. If you're saying that you don't like Jaden Daniels at all and May is far and away better than Jaden Daniels, one, you're not being honest in your assessment. And two, I think there's another thing driving your decision, and you should be ashamed of you for thinking like that, because I have no other reason why you're thinking like that. You're really, really not. I mean, a kid is mechanically sound. I mean, he's even when he's rolling out of the pocket, JT O'Sullivan broke it down beautifully that he does a great job on resetting his base, getting his footwork down before he throws a ball downfield. He may not go through his entire progressions, but he does a good job of reading the field. I mean, there's a lot of things he does well. He has flaws, absolutely, but he has a lot more positives. And you want to sit there and say that about the kid? I don't think so.
A lot of people don't know what they're talking about, to be perfectly honest. Yes. I mean, yes, a lot of these quarterbacks, and I've studied enough of them to know, the ones, it's very hard for them to fix form problems. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just don't, But Daniels, in almost every situation, great footwork, great form. He can read the field. He didn't always read the field because he had great receivers.
Right.
Let me tell you what his big problem is going to be. He takes a ton of humongous hits. The man does not know how to slide at all. That is RG3. That part is RG3. He's going to have to learn how to not do that. Because if he does, he's going to get killed. That concerns me.
That concerns me. I do think he is a little thin. He needs to bulk up, but he's also 24, 23? Yeah. You'll put on weight naturally as you age. That's part of it too. And now he'll have, dietitians who he can help him with it. I'm sure he had that at LSU as well, because he gained 20 pounds or something over his time at LSU.
He may gain a few pounds of muscle and stuff.
Right, right. He needs to put on some muscle. He needs to get that.
He's not that small, though, really. He's a little thin, yes, but he's not like a beanpole.
210.
Yeah, he's not a beanpole. He was really a wide receiver build, really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also just about, he doesn't have, the classic big chest look of a quarterback.
Right, yeah.
That's what people focus on a lot with that. I think it's going to be hopefully a good signing long term, but I'm still very cautious about him starting right away. Not because I don't think he has talent. I'm worried more about the rest of the roster. And so let's move on to what people are loving this pick, the Jahzir Newton pick at 36. I'm still not loving it. I'm sorry. It was a defensive tackle at 36. It's a hard pill to swallow to me.
I gave it a D+ in my instant draft grades. It's a terrible pick. I wrote in my little instant draft analysis thing. My analogy I used was, you see something on sale in a fancy department store that you don't need, and you buy it because you saved 10% off the price of the new pair of shoes, but you still didn't need the shoes, and they're going to sit in your closet. That's not a productive use of money. A draft pick of a defensive tackle, there is no position on the Washington roster that they needed a starter less than defensive tackle in particular. They have two guys signed to huge contracts. They have last year's or 2 years ago, Phil Mathis, number two, second round pick. Right. This guy
terrible pick then too when they did that.
Yeah, I know. Sir John Newton, he calls himself Johnny, apparently. He may be great, but he's not going to play. He's not going to start. It was a wasted draft pick. It was a stupid thing to do. Sometimes you got to get away from your list and go, look, there were some corners and some receivers picked a couple picks after him that would have been fine. Yeah. So I think it was a terrible pick, the worst pick of the draft for Washington.
And now, I agree. I will say, he could work out to be a great player. It's so far off the position of need list that
last position that they needed.
Right. Other than maybe drafting another quarterback.
Well, right, yeah.
Well, when it comes to Newton, I kind of take a bit of a different perspective than you on that one, Steve, because at first when I saw the pick, well, that's fine. But so, but see, when the pick was first made, I felt the same way. I'm like, what are you doing? If you didn't like the value of tackle at that point, maybe slide back a little more and grab one of these guys or something. I was going through all that in my mind. Even the day after, I was thinking the same thing. But as I gave him more time to resonate and I was reading more of other people's reports about him, the one thing about Newton that you get with him is that you have the versatility with him to not just play tackle, but he can play defensive end. He's got he's very quick off the snap. He's strong. He's fast and strong with his hands, and he does very well, getting pressure on the outside shoulder of the tackle and coming in, as a blitzer on the outside. He is a guy that if they wanted to go 3-4, you have a guy who can play tackle and kick out to that end side on there, and he would still be within his element. Peters basically, and I forget who it was that, I talked about this, but Peters came in with the mindset of building a foundation, building this roster. Of course, he wanted to get a tackle. He tried to move up in the draft to get it, but the value was much better for Newton than it was for any tackle that was available, because Newton was a mid-round value in the first round. Right now, Peters is working with a clean slate as far as he's concerned. He's building the foundation. He didn't get the tackle. He wanted to get the tackle. He tried to get it, couldn't get it. But he's worried about building that foundation for the future. And if the tackle wasn't part of it, and we'll talk about the guy who they got later in the draft, but I have no problem with him sticking to his board and doing what he did to build this foundation of this team. And that's where when we talk about the tight end they drafted, I think, is going to help a little bit for the lack of the tackle, but we'll get to that one later.
I mean, you're not going to convince me that Johnny Newton can be a 4-3 defensive end. He's not. Maybe a 3-4 defensive end, but we've got no indication this team is going to be a 3-4 team.
Well, no, you're right.
He's not going to slide out. He's 6'2", 304 pounds. The man is not a 4-3 defensive end. And I just think it was stupid. I don't care what his draft board says. Sometimes...
I'm talking strictly for a 3-4 side. If they go through a 3-4, that's where he fits in.
They don't have the linebackers for that.
No, the rest of the roster is not 3-4 ready.
Right.
No.
I agree with you there.
Other thing is, okay, even if you do that, then were they going to throw Phil Mathis away? Either way, they're going to lose one of these second-round draft picks without ever playing a down, essentially.
Well, I think Mathis would be the odd man out anyway. I just think right now it's not the concern of putting together a roster that's going to win this year. I think they're just simply putting together a foundation of pieces that he wants to build.
No, but you've
got to
draft starters. In the first three rounds, you need to draft starters, and he is not a starter. On this team, he's not a starter, to me.
I mean, I think he might, because what they're now talking about, at least on the talking head shows, is that... eventually Allen's contract, I guess Allen, they could get out Allen's contract next year and he would replace Allen in 2025.
Well, why would you do that? Why would you assume? I mean,
yeah, it's a lot of assumptions, but
and so the deal is Allen's contract expires in 25 is what it is. Right. There's not an option. I mean, it's just his contract terminates in 2025. But why are you planning on that when there are so many other needs you could have done?
Yeah.
And by the way, they might have said that they tried to draft up or trade up rather, But what does that mean? Did they make an honest effort at it? Did they offer a bowl of rotten Doritos, or did they make a legitimate shot? Did they take a legitimate shot at it? I would have given away every one of these second round picks for a true left tackle in the middle. I would have given up all the second round picks and next year's first round pick.
The only problem with that, though, to get to the range to get that true left tackle, you probably didn't have enough assets to even get up to get to that, because they were gone by, I think, what, pick 12.
You know? Yeah, but they needed a tackle.
I know, but everything after that, like a Guyton's listed as a tackle, but he's more projected as a right tackle. When you look at Mims, he's a project. You don't even know what he's going to end up being. When you look at most of the tackles at draft were all right tackles.
I got news for you. They need a right tackle, okay?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. But that's actually my biggest complaint, because I think they did draft a tackle later who could be, a productive player.
We'll get to him.
We'll get to him. Yeah. But they really needed to come out of this draft with two tackle options, one to eventually be the right, one to eventually be the left, hopefully, ideally, and you came out with one guy when you needed multiple. All right, let's move on to the second round, because it was a busy second round. At 40, they trade with Philly, which just instinctively don't like trading within the division. But, I'm a big boy. I can move past that, because you got 2 seconds for a second and a third, and then you swapped picks later in what, the sixth round, was it? Or fifth round, technically?
Fifth round.
Something like that.
Fifth round.
Yeah. So not a huge net, but you end up getting 2 more second round picks, which is a good thing. At number 50, they draft a defensive back, a slot corner from Michigan, Mike Sanristil. How do you pronounce his name?
I think it's Sanristil.
All right, so Mike Sanristil, kind of pegged to be a slot corner, smaller guy, 5'9", 180, 190, in that range. I was watching ABC. Nick Saban was raving about this pick as soon as they picked him. He loved the guy, apparently. He thinks he might be one of the best corners in this draft class. If he were bigger, he'd be a first rounder, is what he was saying.
I mean, and Mike Sanristil himself pegged himself as a slot corner, by the way. I saw him interviewed, and he said, "I'm better." And he said, "Inside," so that's what he pegs himself. And at 5'9", there's a bit of a divergence of opinion, because I saw, like, Saban wasn't alone in that. There were many people that said he's a first round pick, but there were others that thought he was a second round pick. Mm-hmm. For a variety of reasons. I don't know who was right or wrong. I didn't study his film. You don't know.
Right.
But if you're going to draft a slot corner, I would have rather spent a high pick on an outside corner than a slot corner. That'd be my complaining about him. I just, from a use of draft, use pick usage standpoint, I'd rather have an outside corner. That's all. Which he's clearly not.
No, his size, unless he ends up being Darryl Green, he's not. I get that.
When he identifies himself as a slot corner,
Now, here's my thing. I do believe, and I know Ron Rivera tried his hardest to make me stop believing in the, you have to have a great slot corner now in the modern NFL. You play so much nickel that I think an elite slot corner, to me, is more valuable than that second outside corner. Just me.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think it takes so much more to cover guys in the slot, because you've got to know you don't have the sideline to help you. So you got a lot more field to kind of be aware of.
I didn't even think I thought it was a good pick. If you want to, I got to be fair and, on both sides of it, and that would be, I would have rather had an outside corner, but I think it was a good pick, and he seems to be a quality player, and if you're gonna bet on one guy to be the success, it might be him.
Well, I think
of the this round, sure, I could see that.
The only problem with that, though, is that at that point in the draft, even the early part of the second round, all the corners start coming off the board. There was, as far as your typical outside corners, they were basically gone. The ones that were left were like your third, fourth round guys. You know, so
they could have stayed at 40 because
they didn't have to.
They could have. Sure, they could have gotten Kool-Aid. Kinsley, whatever his name is.
But Philly took the one corner at 40, you know, like who's like the fastest guys.
DeJean, I've heard mixed reviews on him. I'm not really sold on him being a true outside corner. I mean, I don't know. It's just I wasn't really real big on him. But as far as Sandstrom, though, it's he looks like a Dan Quinn guy. He's a guy that attacks the ball, reads the routes very well. But what he does very, very well, he blitzes off the edge exceptionally well. He gets in the backfield quick, disrupts the pass, disrupts the quarterback's timing and everything. He does everything that Dan Quinn needs in a corner to do. You know, I absolutely love the pick. I mean, the guy's always around the ball. He makes smart decisions. He's rarely out of play, and he's a hitter. The guy, you know, he's very, for his size, he's a physical player. You know, and this defense has lacked that for the last several years.
No, they still, even though they drafted two corners last year at 1 and 2, they still need help because neither of those guys are looking good right now.
That is
so
true.
As much as you and I hate it, Steve, that they're like drafting another corner already.
I didn't totally hate it. I didn't even hate the pick. I would have preferred an outside corner knowing what you just said, which is, you know, St. Juice went downhill a little bit. Forbes looks like a bust. To me, he looks like a bust. Right. The sycophant fans out there may not admit it, but he looks like a bust. And so they're going to need someone, you know.
He looks like he lost all his confidence Forbes at one point during the season. Yeah, that's a whole other thing, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to what, and you know, you guys know I'm a sucker for these kind of players anyway. Ben Sinnott, a fullback / H-back / tight end out of Kansas State. This is the kind of pick that I always love because I'm a sucker for these like just ultra physical, kind of blocking H-back types. It all stems from Chris Cooley being my favorite player of that little period of the Joe Gibbs era. So, like, to me, when I saw this guy, the highlights of this guy when they drafted him, I was like, oh, it's Chris Cooley.
Let's just tell him to stay away from the cheerleaders.
yes. we should make sure of that.
Sinnott is my favorite pick of the draft. He's a guy that I wanted before the draft. He's a guy that I mock. He's even a guy that I believe I did. I remember correctly, I actually had them moving up to take.
Did you really? Sure
they got him because, this is a guy who does everything. You put Mark Andrews from Baltimore, put him together with Jason Witten together because Jason Witten was a good blocker. You know, Mark Andrews isn't a Kelsey route runner, but he is a good route runner. That's what Sinnott is. Sinnott's a good route runner. He's not going to be Kelsey for you, but he's still going to find the open zones. He's a big body frame. You can line him up as a fullback, you can give him help on the offensive line in terms of chipping a defensive end with him, you know, and he's not a liability in blocking. He's a fantastic blocker, especially, especially as a run blocker. This kid is a guy that I think is going to be an absolute hit in this entire draft class. He's going to be regarded as one of the top five tight ends in a couple of years. That's how I feel about him.
I mean, I think
go ahead.
I think Adam Peters sees him as George Kittle.
A lot of people are saying he's Juszczyk more than Kittle because he plays H-back primarily.
But maybe, I think Adam Peters sees that level of potential in him.
Mm-hmm. I think he sees that level of potential, but he's not, because Kittle is limited in his route running. He's not a great route runner. He has a few routes, and that's all he runs every single play. Mark Andrews, on the other hand, runs more of a route tree than what Kittle does. Kittle's got better hands. He's a better receiving tight end. I'll give you all that. More speed, everything. But in terms of he's got a broader route tree than what Kittle has, period. You know, but he has the physical nature of Kittle. So, which is why I could see why he thinks of him as Kittle. I mean, he's an absolute perfect fit for what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn wants to run. But now comes in again Cliff Kingsbury. He doesn't always focus tight ends in his offenses either. What's he right. going to do with that piece? But that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Well, we'll see. That
is another conversation. The thing that I found interesting, because, you know, some of these guys are showing get interviews on local radio and stuff. He said at one point he had worked out with Jaden Daniels in this, like, coming up, upcoming, you know, prior to the draft stuff. Like, yes. he and they had already done a little, like, work together, which is interesting. So
yeah, they have a rapport and everything already. So to a point.
Yeah, if they have any kind of rapport already, great. You know? Because yeah. let's be honest. Ertz and Sinnott are going to be the safety valves for a mm-hmm. young quarterback, right? Like, Ertz
especially
is a perfect
especially with his
veteran.
Offensive line. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think I won't be surprised if you see a lot of them both lined up on the same side of a formation. You know, I think you're going to see some creative. You could potentially see some creative stuff done with both of them, because I know they drafted a receiver, and we'll talk about that too. Right now, to me, this might be your third best receiving option that they've picked in Sinnott. Like, he might be your third target as a receiver, because he lines up on the outside a lot too, or did at least in college.
Well, I mean, that may be the plan. We'll have to see if that happens.
We'll see.
Know.
Yeah. 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 All right. Moving on to round number three. Finally, they addressed their largest need. And I'm even going to say, in a way, tackle was a bigger problem than quarterback, because Marcus Mariota is a better quarterback than the tackles they had on the roster. And, you know, maybe still.
Everybody's but a better quarterback than the tackles they had on the roster.
Brandon Coleman, the tackle slash guard, because let's be honest, they're not really sure what he's going
to
play.
They are trying to will this into existence. That's what they're doing. You know, they're calling him a tackle. They are truly trying to will it into existence. It looks like it's truly unclear. Like Robbie Duncan, I saw, thought he was a tackle. I respect Robbie's opinion. But many others
Robbie
think
had some good clips of his play.
Many others think he's a guard. I think it's just really hard to tell right now. I mean, don't forget, like, Trenton Williams was a right tackle at Oklahoma for most of his time at Oklahoma. I mean, and so it's things can switch. I just think they're calling him a left tackle. They're kind of gaslighting the world into believing, he was our left tackle all along, you know, because they need it to be true. Because if it fails, there's a serious problem for the young rookie quarterback.
Well, see, one thing I shared, I thought I shared it with both of you, but apparently I just shared it with you, Alex. It was in the 2022 national championship game against Georgia. He allowed zero sacks, no hits, no hurries or any pressures, and had a pass blocking grade of 89.8 against Georgia. And Georgia was an absolute beast defensively with that. That's why they had Jalen Carter. Nolan Smith was their linebacker. That defense was absolutely
legitimate. Georgia beat
NFL
the snot
team.
Out of them.
Well, you're right. True. That's true. But as far as what Coleman did, you know, when he played that left side right there, he held his own. So, I mean, maybe there was something that we don't see that we missed. It's out there that they see. I have no idea. I'm not going to give you any impression that he is definitely left tackle material, but I think there's things out there that we haven't seen that apparently they do that gives him that hope that he can be. Well, will he be? I have no idea.
Well, you can spare me the pass blocking grades, because those are stupid and subjective. They're numbers masquerading as objective measurements, and they're not. So you can spare that for me.
Well, the most important thing were zero sacks, no hits, no hurries, or any pressures allowed. That's the biggest key on all that.
I'm not saying he can't be. I'm saying most people think he's not, and the front office is trying to will it into existence by repeating it over and over again, because they have to get it right, because they know this is the big failure in the draft. They didn't get one of those surefire left tackle. They didn't spend a second round pick on. They didn't trade up. This is the first guy. They have to make it work. And if it doesn't work, it'll be a massive failure because you know who you got out there, you know, if it's not him. And that's a disaster. So I hope it works out for him. I don't know one way or the other. I have not watched one nanosecond of Brandon Coleman film.
Well, I wonder if they were targeting Kingsley, Samuel Tai, I think it is.
Possibly,
because the Chiefs jumped right in front of Washington to take him, and that's when they took Coleman after that. You know, so I wonder if that's who their target was, and that was a guy I was hoping. I kept texting you guys, let it be this guy. You know, and they just missed him by a couple picks. That guy
on the Paul bandwagon, who I thought they should have taken in the second round, but, you know, obviously all under the bridge now. But
they should have spent some more assets and traded up in the first round.
Maybe if they could have gotten a guy they liked.
It's easy to say in retrospect. Yeah, we tried to trade up. They might have. We don't know what they offered to try to trade up.
Yeah. If they offered 1 second round and like a fifth rounder, they're not getting anything.
Right. I don't know if they made a legitimate offer. They may tell you they made a legitimate offer, but I don't know if they did or they didn't. Maybe they did.
Right. The one thing I was going to say about Coleman, and I think there's been a running theme with a couple of these guys, is there's one of those analytics sites that Steve hates. It's not PFS, but another one. Was grading out guys' relative athletic scores.
Oh my God,
it.
You got to stop with that.
Yeah.
Thing I sent you guys with the, because it was like he had a better RAS score, what they call it, over Trent Williams. And I shared that with you guys just to kind of get a little kick at it, because athletically wise, he regrades out far more athletically than what Trent Williams is coming in, which
I can't roll my
eyes enough.
At that, I mean,
yeah, Steve can't stand it.
Those are people who are trying, need something to do with their lives, and so they come up with something called the relative athletic score, which is something they made up out of a whole cloth with no science behind it whatsoever. You know,
it makes no sense.
It's ridiculous.
Sense at all.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be one thing if you're like, all right, he finished one in all these, you know, the 40 or whatever. You know, like those things that we actually can grade. But,
numbers.
I think he did fine in most of his combine.
Well, the 40
stuff
wouldn't even matter. I mean, for a tackle, you'd want the 10.
I know. I just pulled the 40 because that's one we all think of.
Right.
Now,
Coleman does have the arms for a tackle. He's got 34-inch arms.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like 33 is kind of, you know, the min. And so he's he has the arm length for it. You know, a lot of people get moved to guard because of arm length.
He is very mobile too, in a good way. Like, he can pull pretty well from what I've seen. I think that's a big thing. And now I think that's also a reason why a lot of people throw him at guard, because you typically want your guards to be able to pull more than anybody.
But look, I hate to break it to everybody, but the fact of the matter is, if this guy was a surefire left tackle, he wouldn't have been available in round three.
No, of course not.
Right.
I think we all replaced that. Even in a deep draft, he would have been gone before third.
That
round.
Is correct. Again, it's kind of gaslighting a little bit. It really is.
A little bit.
Hopefully it works out, but, you know.
Sure.
We'll see.
All right, now let's go to pick 100. The wide receiver out of Rice, some kid named Luke McCaffrey.
This was my favorite pick.
This is your favorite pick, really?
You can't go wrong with a McCaffrey. You know, and here's why I like him. He was a quarterback, failed at that. He's really new to wide receiver, yet did well enough to be legitimately available in round three, put up some decent numbers. The reason why he moved around so much is that he was trying to be a quarterback, and he didn't work. And so now you got an emergency quarterback here online. If everybody else gets hurt, he's available. But more than that, they're calling him a possession receiver. Principally because he's inexperienced.
Right.
You know, and I just think with the genetics, his dad, Ed McCaffrey from the Giants, his brother is, you know, did he win the MVP last year, McCaffrey? I can't remember. But
was it last year? I don't think he did.
Maybe one. But regardless, you know, the top running back in football, probably. And so he's been around elite football his entire life. He's young and he's developing. He's going to get better. He is not at his ceiling as a wide receiver. And if you're going to gamble on somebody, gamble on a McCaffrey, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he does come from a good NFL draft stock. Well, I'll put it that way. By the way, it is crazy how many sons of great receivers were in this draft class. I think there were four. Because you had Rice's kid, you had McCaffrey, you had Harrison, and someone told me Terrell Owens had a kid in this draft. I didn't even know that.
I wasn't aware of that one.
Yeah.
No, but think about it.
I think he's coming. I think he's going to be available for next year's draft, I thought.
Who's going to be an elite level football player? The rando or the guy who has elite parents with the genetics and coaching from day one? Yeah, it's no wonder they're like that.
Oh, T.O.'s son was undrafted, but he signed with the 49ers.
Okay,
that's where you go. So, but still, that's four Hall of Fame caliber receivers with kids in this draft. That's very weird to me. Maybe Ed McCaffrey is not a Hall of Fame caliber. Is he? He wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
But he's a very good. He was a very good, well-established receiver.
So, I mean, it's possible Luke is like, you know, the redheaded stepchild of the group, maybe, but it's only a third round pick. It's the bottom of the third round at that. And what really got me is he's only played the position for 2 years. He will get better. And he's been around elite football his entire life.
No, and he's going to be a professional about it.
He's not that far removed from an athletic standpoint from his brother.
No. He's going to be professional. He's going to come in with that work ethic that, you know, his brother has and his father instilled in both of them, because he's been very clear that his father's the one who said, if this is what you guys want to do, let's make sure you do it right. That kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's my point. Yeah. Now, if they had spent like a second round pick or a first round pick, that's another story, but a third round pick at one of the very last picks, I think it was the last pick of the third round. A great gamble. Great. I love this pick.
Yeah, at 6'2", 4'4", running a 4.4, 4.46, 40, with his broad jump at 10'1". I mean, and still developing and still progressing, the pedigree, everything. I have zero problem with this pick at all. I mean, especially if you throw him in the slot. You throw him in the slot, he's gonna overmatch most slot corners in this league. You know, especially with his quickness, his speed. His footwork, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. And plus, with him being a former quarterback, he can recognize defenses in front of him a lot quicker than most rookie receivers coming out in this draft anyway.
Yep.
I think it was a worthwhile shot. I love this pick as well myself.
And they say his hands are outstanding for such a relatively young receiver. Like, he catches almost everything thrown his way.
And he catches with his hands, not his body.
Yeah. If this works out, great. And if he can be that big slot guy, which I know is not in vogue, hasn't been in vogue in a long time, but, you know, they do need someone with some size. So
He doesn't necessarily have to be limited to a slot receiver.
Either. No, absolutely not. Yeah.
But there's a lot of talk about him being heavily used in the slot.
I'm just not convinced that Jahan Dotson is going to work out after what we saw last year. And if that's the case, you know, then exhibit A of maybe who could follow him up if he continues to develop and get better.
This will be a make or break year for Dotson. No doubt about that. But I still, watching him at Penn State, I have the confidence he's going to rebound. He's a much better receiver. You saw it in his rookie year. He's a much better receiver than what he was last year. I mean, I think that was an aberration last year.
Maybe the PTSD from having had to run from predators at Penn State caught up with him, and he had to go to counseling and kind of get better over that. Could that have been it, Dave?
Absolutely. Possibly. I could see that. Yes. Or then again, he's just an extremely talented receiver and he's going to be just fine with his.
I'm going with my explanation.
There
better.
You go.
I do think it's going to be an interesting discussion how they utilize these receivers and some of these new weapons, because what I like is McCaffrey is not the same type of receiver as McLaurin, Dotson, and Curtis Samuel was, honestly. Like, finally we have a different type of target for our quarterback.
And he's so not
we
a
have matchup.
They needed
it's a little thing
receivers.
Called matchups.
They
I know
needed
that's
bigger
new.
Receivers.
Yeah, they needed bigger ones. I still think they need a true take-the-top-off deep threat guy. because I don't think Terry is that. I think he's a route guy.
I think they thought Dotson was going to be that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think either Dotson or Terry is that.
No.
But, I mean, that, and that's, they are who they are. It's fine. All right, let's move forward here. Jordan McGee, linebacker out of a school called Temple. Don't know that one. So they get a linebacker for some depth, special teams here. Another kind of run-stopping linebacker, at least in college. So that, I think, the hope would be you're sitting him behind Bobby Wagner for a year to learn how to play middle linebacker, is what it seems.
I don't know. I think he's more of an outside linebacker myself.
He might be, but
it's
I think
28.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know.
Small side. I get what you're saying.
I mean, it's a fifth round pick. You know, yeah. I mean, I have a hard time arguing with any fifth round pick, unless it's you draft a punter or something. It seems like a worthwhile gamble. I mean, he had good attitude. The guy is going to be on special teams as a rookie.
Didn't somebody draft a punter crazy high again in the draft this year?
Yes, yes. I forget who it was, but somebody did, yes.
Chicago.
I'm going to look it up while we're talking.
But Chicago?
But,
Chicago, I think round four, I believe.
That's right. Crazy. That's nuts. You guys know I love punters. That's nuts. but, yeah, so this pick, the next pick, which is Dominique Hampton, the safety out of Washington, this is clearly them saying we need some special teams guys, and this is where you usually find your special teams starters is the fifth round, sixth round, seventh round.
Yeah. So my analysis of this, any starter in rounds five, six, and seven is just a gift.
It's just dumb luck, honestly.
It's luck. It's really the top three rounds where your starters come from.
Yeah.
From my analysis from years ago, a couple of years ago. I did this.
Yeah, these guys are going to be all special teams players for the most part.
Look, I like to pick. They needed a linebacker. Bobby Wagner's old. They needed somebody. Jamin Davis, I don't even know what to think. I don't think they're going to re-sign him.
They might not.
Yeah,
unless they decline his fifth-year option.
Yeah, which is a good indication. Right. So, I mean, they needed a guy. They drafted someone. Hopefully it'll work out. I mean, unless you're like Alex, who's watched a ton of Temple football,
And even I didn't watch it any last year because, honestly, Temple's been terrible the last couple of years. I didn't even realize Kurt Warner's son is their starting quarterback. And I was like, huh? Oh, interesting. Nice. Didn't care.
So you're telling me you don't have a little crush on Jordan McGee?
Nope. No. My Temple crush is still going to be our kicker this year. So, that's going to be the way I go with that. All right, so any thoughts on Hampton, the safety out of Washington, though? Also in the fifth round?
I mean, he struck me as more of a zone coverage guy, not a man guy. And maybe, it looked to me like maybe a strong safety and a cover three. We don't know if they're going to run cover three much, but that's the way I kind of saw him, that type of guy. Again, a decent gamble. They could use a safety. This is going to be another special teamer, for the time being. But that's the way I saw him, is zone coverage. It looked like he's not a man, press man guy.
I don't know a great deal about Hampton, but all I know is that he's a guy that's not afraid of contact. He has fairly decent instincts for covering the zone and up underneath, almost playing like that, what they call the nickel, Buffalo nickel position up in there. Yeah. I think just like Jordan McGee, I think those guys are high enough motor guys where I think special teams where they're going to cut their teeth. And I think one of these two could wind up molding or getting a opportunity to start at one point. But I think right now, I think you guys are right on that. I think they're more or less special team guys, and maybe they could develop into something, but.
So. Yeah. I think, look, it's a long shot that any of these fifths and later guys develop. But, I like the size. I will say that, physical 6'2", 215, that's kind of what I want for that Buffalo nickel. I think if you're playing a matchup game, you want, we drafted a corner who's smaller. That's good if you're going to match up. But you don't want him to play a 6'2 or a big receiver. This is the guy you want on a big receiver, ideally, right? Like, that's, you got to make those kind of decisions when you're building a roster. So I like it for that, but who knows if anything happens with it or if it works out. All right, last pick at 222, they draft a defensive end out of Notre Dame, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, which I had to say with a little French accent there.
If nothing else, you got to like his first name. It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah. JJB.
I mean, I think it, one area they clearly overlooked in the draft was edge rusher. You know, and this is the first edge rusher that they drafted. Seventh round.
They were active in free agency in that spot fairly. So.
Yeah, but I mean, can you really count on any of these guys to really be like a starting level? No, you know.
And that's where with that Newton pick, if they didn't want to go tackle, I thought they had some edge rushing options right there. They could have actually gone.
He's not an edge rusher though. I disagree with you.
I said that that's where that Newton pick came into play, where if anything, if they didn't want to go tackle, they should have gone edge rusher because they had plenty of guys that fell at that point. Like Adisa from Penn State. I mean, he's used to chasing it.
Are you aware that there's other teams in Penn State? Do you know this?
I'm just getting you to comment, Steve. That's all I'm doing.
Now, the interesting thing about Jean-Baptiste is that he measured out at 6'5", 239 at the combine, which seems like a string bean. But I read is that he apparently had a really serious bout of food poisoning and lost a ton of weight right before the draft. He was measured out at about 260 in college at Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
He's another one.
He's a serious bout of food poisoning.
Yeah. I mean, and that was the story. Who knows? I mean, I don't know the man, but that was apparently the story. So if that is true, he's probably gained a bunch of that weight back. So he's not going to be a string bean. So he's got prototypical 4'3 defensive end size. So you can say that much about it. That's good. Now, he doesn't have the athletic measurements, but you wouldn't expect somebody to when you know, he ran a 4.66 40, which isn't terrible, you know, but not great. But the real reason why he got downgraded in the draft is, I mean, he spent 6 years in college, really only played in the last 2 years, and didn't produce much until the last year. That's why he got downgraded so much. But he's got the measurements. He looks the part. Hopefully he can, you know, he's another guy that would have a higher ceiling because, you know, he's still developing, even though he's old by draft pick standards.
Yeah,
that's my thought.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of these guys are old by, like, you know, there's a lot of 6 year guys on this team.
There's a lot of these draft picks. I was amazed at how many of them. This is what NIL gets you, kids.
Well, it was also that COVID year added to it too.
Yes,
but yeah. All right, let's quickly just go through the undrafted. The big name is the kid from Colorado State, Azim or Anusium, who they gave a pretty decent contract to, if I recall. $50,000 signing bonus.
Yeah, I've got the contract details and all these guys. I did look it up.
So he was a priority. He, like, if anyone's making the team of the undrafted, it's probably going to be him, it sounds like.
Yeah, he had 350,000 guarantees, which is a lot for an undrafted free agent.
Oh, 350. Okay.
That was the total guarantees. It was 350. Wow. The signing bonus, I think, might have been 50, but 50,
okay.
But the total guarantee, that's a lot for an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's a corner we're talking about, in case you guys.
Yeah, sorry, he's a cornerback. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that one was interesting to me that, you know, because you know they did draft several defensive backs here. The next one, the big name Notre Dame's Sam Hartman. This one kind of surprised I think a lot of us because obviously they already had three guys on the roster. They drafted a guy. And now they signed an undrafted free agent quarterback. That's a lot of QBs in the room right away.
They've got five quarterbacks in the building now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was surprised by that. I'm surprised he wanted to come here. Like, you'd think he'd want to go to a place where he'd have a good shot at a third string role.
Well, I mean, who is he beating? Trying to beat out Jeff Driscoll and Jake Fromm. Not exactly the height of competition here.
No, but it's not no competition.
I get what you mean. I understand what you mean, but.
Yeah. Then you got Austin Jones, the running back out of USC. This is another guy who I was actually surprised didn't get drafted. You know, like USC running back. I know he's not like a superstar. He's not going to carry the load for you, but he was a contributor there, like a solid contributor.
He was.
So,
right.
Most mock drafts I saw had him going in like the fifth, sixth round, not going undrafted. Then you got Ben Nickel, or I'm going to say Ben Nickel, the safety from Iowa State. Just there should be a guy named Nickel playing, you know, the nickel slot spot. So I doubt he actually doesn't. None of these guys are doing anything. Toledo offensive tackle David Nawalagu.
Yeah, there's our new right tackle.
Try to pronounce that one.
That's our new right tackle.
Yeah.
Can't be any worse than Wiley.
Yeah, and they have him listed as Toledo. He also played for Temple, so maybe that's my new crush, Steve, if he becomes our right tackle.
I mean, I can't make your personal choices for you. You got to decide.
Texas Tech safety, Tyler Owens. So another defensive back. And Virginia Tech defensive
Tyler
tackle.
Owens, by the way, was another priority free agent. He had $225,000 guaranteed.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Defensive tackle from Tech. Norrell Pollard, then Georgia wide receiver. This is the one that I think was one of the later ones because after the draft, Steve and I try and keep track and like that night get down all the undrafted free agents, and this is one I didn't have.
Is one that popped up out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah, wide receiver Marcus Rosme Jack Saint.
That's an unfortunate name.
It is.
Sorry.
There's one even better coming up here soon.
Is it Arizona's Michael Wheely or Wiley? No.
I don't think so. Keep going.
No. CJ or cornerback AJ Woods.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not a funny. Oh, I see what it is.
Keep going.
There it is. Dave, do you want to read it? I think
Colson Yankoff.
Yeah, that's a very unfortunate name.
Yeah.
Jack Saint and Yankoff need to get together and have dinner or something.
I do not want to see that video.
And maybe just invite Wood over with them.
There you go. Yeah.
They literally picked three porn names, didn't they? They just wanted names on the.
Yes, they did.
Yep. So. Good for you, Adam Peters. Have some fun. You know,
look,
well,
we don't know anything about any of these people, except we pointed out the ones that are the priority free agents to keep an eye out on. And
well, actually, Sam Hartman apparently is a new heartthrob for all the female fans. And
oh, really?
In DC. Yes. Oh, they've been going crazy over with him.
Well,
beard,
Steve, watch
hair,
the slow-mo of him running his 40 and you'll see why.
Oh, God. Oh, by the way, he's another priority free agent. They gave him $245,000 guarantees.
That's weird, man. Like,
I would point out here that Washington, with the draft, who are not signed to the roster yet, mind you, and these unsigned undrafted free agents, they are not 93. So, which is, of course, more than they're allowed to have. But this is okay because the draft picks are not signed to the roster yet. But what this means is three players are going to have to get cut for them to sign the draft picks to the roster. So you'd have to think that one of these quarterbacks is going to go.
Yeah, I'm hoping nobody signed a long-term lease from Jake Fromm. Or,
it's either going to be Jeff Driscoll or Jake Fromm. One of the two of them are going to
go. Driscoll they just brought in, too. So I'm assuming we know it's not him.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, that would seem logical. And then one of these defensive linemen, because they've got, an absolute truckload of defensive linemen. They've got 17 defensive linemen signed. So one of them is going to have to go. And so there's two right there.
Maybe two with that many. I mean, you don't need.
And they've got a ton of DBs, too. I mean, they've got if you count Quan Martin as a corner, which I'm not sure we do, but that is, 13 corners? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 13. And then they've got another 7 safety. So if you want, so one of the quarterbacks, one of these DBs, one of the defensive linemen are going to have to be cut before training camp.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of work to do in terms of the next step, which is going to be kind of sorting out who's doing what in this roster here.
And I did update the salary cap. You know, I haven't published it yet, but the salary cap number didn't change at all because all these undrafted free agents were below the rule of 51, and so it doesn't make a difference to the salary cap.
Yeah, it does, and they have enough cap room. Honestly, when I saw, who was it, Beckoin got signed by somebody, the former Jets left tackle. I was kind of hoping they would make a move for something like that.
It would have been not a bad idea.
They still need insurance, at the very least.
Yeah. Washington has got, by my count, and I need to, I haven't adjusted the rookie pool because of the trade yet, but think 42, 43 million. That's in round numbers. That's where it's going to end up with after the draft. I just have it calculated.
Which is a lot of cap room.
It's a ton of cap room.
Yeah, oh, but there's no limit on how much you can roll over till next year, right? That's part of it too.
Right, but so, they're not going to end the year with $42 million. It's going to be less than that.
But they might be thinking, let's keep as much of it as we can, and then when we know what we have with this first class, you go all in.
It's possible,
which is a smart strategy to build.
So we can't let this. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I was gonna wrap up. Do you want to?
Yeah, I was gonna say one NFL story because I still like NFL stories. What in the God's green earth were the Atlanta Falcons thinking? Somebody explain to me why they signed Kirk Cousins to $80 billion, and then they signed, and then they drafted Michael Penix. Not only did they draft him, they drafted him with the 8th overall pick. He shouldn't have been drafted that high. They overdrafted him. On a team where they can't play him for at least 2 years.
Right.
I don't understand.
I mean, the thing, I like Penix. We talked about that.
I liked him too.
Yeah.
Not at 8, and not for a team that had a quarterback.
No. What I will say is, if your plan was to draft someone to develop behind Kirk Cousins, don't go for the 24-year-old. Go for one of the younger, like, there are guys who are 3 or 4 years younger where it makes a ton more sense to do that, that were still there. So, like, I didn't like it for that part. But, if you were to say, hey, you can't get the top three guys who you pick it, and Penix would have been my choice. But I, you know, not with Kirk Cousins blocking him for 2 years.
And not at 8 either. It's the other thing.
I'm sorry, but 4 years, $184 million, what, 80? 100 of it guaranteed or whatever it was. I mean, I'm sorry, but you don't even touch a quarterback unless you get to the 5th or 6th round. You need to be building you need to be putting as much as you can around Kirk Cousins. But in that very first pick, you need to shore up that defense that was atrocious last year. They had zero pressure on the quarterback. You had your pick of the litter of edge rushers right there. And what do? You just sit there and you draft the quarterback that you know is not going to touch the field unless Kirk gets hurt. It was just absolutely just pure. I mean, it almost seemed like such a Washington thing to do back in the day. You know, let's make a pick that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why? Because Tiny Tyre wanted it. Okay. That whatever. We'll make the pick.
Well, back in the day for Washington, it was that video clip of the Falcons their draft room where they were trying to explain to Arthur Blank
that video was deceiving because the true story was that they had already decided and already told him and Arthur Blank had already talked to him when that video came out.
Okay.
So that story was actually wrong.
Well, that's fine, but I like going with the other side because it's just so much fun.
It's more fun. Yeah.
It is more fun.
And Cousins' contract, I can't find details on it, but it was 4 years, $180 million.
Yeah, but I think only 100 guaranteed. I don't think it was all guaranteed like some of his past ones.
No, it wasn't all. It was I thought it was like 84 million fully guaranteed, but could have been 100.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Either way, it's still you can't move on from him for 2 years, and it's gonna hurt you when you move on from him.
It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Falcons probably had the worst draft, just because of that.
Very weird pick. I mean, again, we all liked Penix too, but I didn't like him at that pick. I certainly didn't like him at 8. So
yeah, I also thought it was crazy that so many quarterbacks went so high. Like,
yeah, they all overdrafted all of them. Overdrafted. Yeah. Especially Bo Nix. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. In terms of where he really should go, yes. But, I mean, QB needy teams, man. Like, and we were one of them. So I can't judge them too hard.
They always overdraft quarterbacks.
They do. They do. And it would do the quarterbacks better to be drafted in their proper rounds and stuff like that.
It'd
like
be better for them. There wouldn't be the expectation, you know?
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But it is what it is. That was crazy. The fact that they didn't have a defensive pick until, what, 14? Like, that was kind of unexpected. But, yeah. Overall, you know, fun draft to watch how it unfolded.
And special thanks to our guy who took some photos for us. And I was about to say his real name. He didn't want it out there. And so if you give me a second, I will say his handle.
Shutterbug McTop Hat. I'm giving him a new handle.
Yeah, that was the Shutterbug McTop Hat. He goes by Commander Daniels, 24th Infantry, Raljan. That was his name. So
that is an interesting decision.
That's on his birth certificate.
Very nice.
He actually was a commenter on the website, and that was the name he used as a commenter on the website.
Yeah. Okay. That's where it's coming from. All right.
Well, he went up the draft, had some cool photos, so check it out.
Right. But, so we have a guy who wants to take some photos, which is nice. We're going to try and see if we can get training camp access again.
We'll try. But the people who hated us are gone, so I feel better about it this year. We may have to start from scratch, but I feel okay about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind. I would not mind at all, especially if I don't have to take the stupid bus to get there. All right, guys, we will talk to you all next week. That should do it for the show.
All right, later.
I got away.